And most of all, I'm glad that salvation is free. I'm glad that it didn't cost me one thing. Now, it's not cheap. It's free. And we'll talk just a little bit about that this morning. It's not cheap. Salvation's not cheap. It cost somebody everything. It cost God the Father His only Son. It wasn't like He had two sons. I got two little boys that sang for you this morning. If I lost one, it'd about kill me. But I'd still have one left, huh? God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and it cost Him everything, heaven's best. It cost Jesus His life, His blood. Oh, it's not cheap, but it's free. And what we've seen this week is young people accept the gift of eternal life. Accept the gift. And I'm glad salvation's free for you and for me. And we can give that message and people respond. If you try to earn it, you'll mess it up. If you try to work for it, it's a gift. You'll ruin it. You'll insult the person that gave you the gift, that's trying to give you the gift. You get a Christmas gift and your mom or your dad goes out of the way and gets something and says, goes out on a limb, you know. Santa Claus ain't the only person in the red at Christmas time, huh? Is that right? Hey, listen to me. They spend everything they have to get a gift for you, and you come, and you get that gift. You get under that tree and grab that gift and take it, and you say, hey, Dad, man, this is the best, greatest gift I ever got in my life. But I want to work for you. I want to do 10 things for you. You know, they talk about the 10 commandments. Dad, I want to do 10 things for you every day this year, just out of appreciation for you giving me that gift. He goes, no, son, I gave it to you because I love you. You say, Mom, I want to do 10 things for you this year, 9 more than I probably ever did before. Mom, I want to do that. I want to do that. She said, no, son, it's a gift. No, it's a gift. I paid for it. It's yours. All you got to do is take it. It's hard for people to understand that salvation is free. You heard about that guy that got on that cruise. It was a 30-day cruise. This summer, we're in 4 straight weeks of meetings just like this. We will start next Tuesday in Rio Rancho, and we'll be going every day, preaching twice a day through Sunday night, and we leave Father's Day night, and we go to Arlington, Texas. We'll get there Monday morning at 10 o'clock and start preaching. We'll do twice a day, every day that week for 7 days. And then my wife, her mother, is a widow lady. For some reason, my mother-in-law don't want to take her son-in-law on a cruise with her, huh? Can you figure that out? Hey, I think I figured it out. And it's going to be very quiet at home for me. And they're going on an Alaskan cruise for several days. This guy got on this cruise, Brother Dave, and he had been on there. I mean, he was scrimping and scraping. He spent every dollar he had to get on this cruise. And then when he got on there, they had all this food, buffet, all this stuff they did on the... And he seemed to love it, except when mealtime came 3 times a day. He didn't have anything. And so they caught him. He was rationing things, and all he ate was cheese and crackers. And each day that went by, he had less and less, you know. And it was just like, okay, one piece of cheese, little bitty piece. By the 25th day, he had one little piece of cheese and part of a cracker he was eating. He was trying to make it to the end of the cruise. Finally, on day 29, somebody came to him. They told the big, you know, skipper of the ship, hey, there's a guy on here that's about to starve. Look, he's losing weight big time. All the rest of us are gaining. And he said, can you talk to him? And the guy comes to him. He says, sir, do you not realize that the food is it's here? It's for you. Why are you eating cheese and crackers? He said, no, I didn't know it came with the, I didn't know it was a package deal. Are you telling me that I could have been eating all that food I've been salivating over all these days, and I thought I had to pay for my own food? No, it's on the house. It's on the ship. I mean, you paid your price of admission. It's paid. Hey, do you know there's a lot of people that's the way they're going to be with the Lord? And they're trying to work their way to heaven and work their fingers to the bone and sweating and trying to earn their way. And God says, no, it's free. It's free. It's paid for by my son. It's already done. It's already paid for. Look at the scripture this morning, Mark 8:38. Notice what it says. Jesus said this in red letters. If you have a red letter edition, the words of Jesus sometimes are marked like that where you know it's Him. You think about His blood. Look what it says. It says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words. Look at that. Now look on with your neighbor if you don't have a Bible, or let them look on with you. He said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him also will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the, what is it, the glory of the Father with his holy angels, something like that. I mean, I don't quote as good as my kids. You'll notice that. So I don't quote as much. Amen. But I try to get it right when I can. Hey, listen to me. If you want to get it straight, they'll correct you and straighten you out. Hey, listen, you know what it says there? You know what Jesus says there? He says this. It's a powerful verse. He said, if you're ashamed of me, one day I'm going to be ashamed of you. What about that? He said, if you're ashamed of me down here on your turf on planet Earth, one day when I pull you up there on my turf and I pull you up there at my place and I pull you up to the judgment day, he said, I'm going to treat you like you did me down there on your turf. If you're ashamed of me, is that what he says? Is that what he said? He says it pretty plain, brother. I mean, he's pretty clear. You talk about the straight shooter. He's the ultimate straight shooter. He said, what you do with me is what I'm going to do with you. How about that? The way you treat me before I come, he must have been talking about 2019. I think he's probably talking about, look at that verse again. See if he's not talking about 2019. Because he says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation. He's talking about 2019. Exactly. Amen? Say amen. Hey, listen, if you don't amen, hey, you figured it out already. If you don't amen me, I'm going to amen myself. And the sermon's going to take longer, amen? And we won't get out of here and get them hot dogs quick. If you don't, I'll amen. You watch me, I'll do it. If you don't amen me, I'm going to park there a little while and say, well, they must not be agreeing. I need to hit some more on that one, amen? Hey, listen, he said, this is talking about 2019. Say amen. Amen. And he said, the way you treat me before I come, right before I come, is the way I'm going to treat you right after I come. How about that? How about that? That's Jesus talking here. He says, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back. Oh, you could do whatever just because you can. It's a free country. You can do whatever you want to do with me. You can do whatever you want to do with God's Son. But one day, it's not going to be your day anymore. One day, it's going to be His day. It's all through Scripture. You reap what you sow. My mom used to say, what goes around comes around. Amen? That's what good mamas say. And it's true. Hey, listen to me. One time he said, if you confess me before men, I'll do what? I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. How about that? Amen. But on the flip side, you know, they say there's two sides to a pancake, no matter how thin it is. Amen? Say amen right there. There's two sides to it. Y'all get that in a minute. Hey, there's two sides to a pancake, no matter how thin it is. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'm going to get you back. I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. So I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, by God's help, on this subject, the lowdown, sorry, disgusting, rotten, filthy, no good sin of being ashamed of Jesus. Right. Amen. The lowdown, you say, what did you say? I'm going to give the title again. The lowdown, rotten, disgusting, sorry, filthy, rotten, no good. You already said filthy twice. No good sin of being ashamed of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, there's a lot of things you can do after you're saved. But this is one of those sins that's mentioned way up there as being really bad, bad wrong to do somebody this way. After what they did for you, after they loved you like they did on the cross, after they died like they did in your place, after they took your place as your substitute. After they suffered your hell for you so you'd never have to spend 1 minute in those flames. I'm talking about what Jesus did for you. And then all of a sudden it's, shh, be quiet. Let's don't say anything about him. Let's talk about something else. No, God wants you to talk about him. God wants you to talk about Jesus Christ. People brag about their friends, they brag about their team, they brag about their money, they brag about this, they brag about that, they brag about their automobile, their house, all this stuff. They brag all the time. What about Jesus Christ? You ain't got a friend better than Jesus. You ain't got nobody else. I ain't never had nobody ever love me enough to take my place. I talked to a guy one time. He kind of put me in my place. I usually think about this about 15 minutes later when I'm driving down the road. Because I'm kind of slow sometimes, you know. Not the sharpest pencil in the box. My eyebrows don't match up. And sometimes I don't always have the right words, huh? Hey, but listen to me. This guy, he shut me down. I didn't even hardly give him a track at his door. And he said, he looked at me. He said, son, cut it out. He said, cut it out. He said, man, don't even go there with me. He said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Coming out here in public and talking about this, bringing this religion thing up. And I didn't even say nothing about religion. Y'all don't even believe it. You don't believe it. I'm not religious at all. I'm saved. I just believe the Bible. Amen. Religion messes up more people than it ever helped. The religious people are the ones that killed our Savior, Jesus Christ. It wasn't the bad people, it was the good people you got to watch out about. Hey, listen to me now. He said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I usually think of it 10 minutes later, but it just fell out. And I said, sir, I am. You're what? I am ashamed of myself. He kind of looked at me like he did a double take. He said, what? I said, I sure am. I've done a lot of sorry things. If you only knew how bad I was, you probably wouldn't want to listen to me. But I'm not going to come here and talk one good thing about myself. I said, I am ashamed of myself. You're right, I should be ashamed of myself. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And I hauled off on him. I ripped him a good one, amen? I ripped him a good message about Jesus, amen? Hey, listen, we're not supposed to talk about ourselves. We're supposed to talk about him. How can you be so quiet? How can you be so silent? A lot of Christians have written on their life what's written on the songbook. Please do not remove from the auditorium. Huh? Somebody says silence is golden. I think it's kind of yellow when you're talking about Jesus Christ. Hey, it's our turn to do something for him. It's our turn to say something for him. Amen. He spoke for me. He stepped in for me. He stepped up for me. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. He's not asking me to bleed for him. He's asking me to say something for him. Amen. Don't be ashamed to get up and sing, to stand up and sing if nobody else does.
That's right.
Hey, I appreciate these young people getting up and singing this morning. I told them, man, I want to see some tonsils. I want to see some esophaguses. They're going, what's that? I want to see some stomachs. Man, I think I did see some. I said, don't you sing quiet, you sing loud. I said, when your parents show up, you ought to plaster them to the back wall. They said, let's do it. Amen? And they sang good this morning. Hey, don't be ashamed about your salvation. Don't be ashamed about your wonderful Savior when you get a chance to sing about Jesus. Don't be ashamed.
Praise God. Amen.
The world puts everything they got into singing. Songs about sex, drugs, rock and roll. Every bad thing you could think of is what they sing about in all the songs they do. That's where all the money's at. Hey, listen, if they're not ashamed, you say, well, they sure look like they're happy. Come on, man, get real. They're getting paid to smile for that. They're doing that for money. Those are some of the most miserable people in the world. And we make heroes out of them. Be careful there with your kids. Hey, put them around people that sing about Jesus Christ. Put them around somebody that sings about Him. Almost 100 years ago, there was an atheist man that kind of took the nation. When he started, you know, nowadays there are a dime a dozen. Dawkins and Maher and all those guys like that mouth off all the time. But back then, America had more sense. We were God-fearing, and you didn't have to. It was a better country. You didn't have to lock your doors at night. We didn't have all the technology and all the advancements that we have today. But that's probably ain't helped us none.
Right.
Hey, listen to me. Back then, we were a God-fearing country, and this man went into the state of Kansas, into the state of Missouri, into the state of Oklahoma, Texas. He'd come across the Midwest, Nebraska, and he would take a soapbox and his goon squad of about three or four guys. He was a real smart guy. He'd take his little experiments. He was real brilliant, scientific and everything. And he would come to this city, and he'd go to the town square and announce, on a certain day, I'm going to prove there is no God. And I'm going to prove it in 60 seconds, and I'm going to move and prove it in the next town too. Be there or you'll miss me proving it. And he got on the soapbox, and the people would come just to see the idiot. What's he going to do? How's he going to prove that? And then he'd do it. He had a stopwatch, sharp-looking little device there, and he said, in the next 60 seconds, I'm going to count down, and I'm going to prove there is no God. He said, I'm standing here on this soapbox. My friends are here. He said, I don't know why you people even believe there is a God. And people started to say something, and he said, he's smart. He kind of put them down, and he said, I'm counting it down. He said, I'm daring God. If you're up there, strike me with lightning. You got 60 seconds to do it. He said, I've done it in city after city. He's not going to do it because he's not up there. 60, 59, 58. People would, they would be in a tight circle around that town square, and they'd back up. You know, they'd want him, that God, to hit him with lightning and ricochet and hit them because they're too close to the nut. So they'd back up, and they thought, man, this guy's crazy. And he got down to 10, 9, 8. He said, folks, there's no God. There's nothing to worry about. I don't know why you're scared. He said, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He said, I just proved it again. And he left with his little entourage, and they went to another city and did it again. Pretty soon, he got more and more of a following. Pretty soon, he was more nationally renowned. And then they said he got in this Coliseum up in Chicago, and there were 4,000 seats that day in this Coliseum. Now he advanced on to his much bigger speaking engagements. And people would come, and a lot of times Christian groups, pastors would bring their youth, and pastors and pastors' wives, and Christian people, notable people. We were a God-fearing country back then. We was a lot better off. And they listened to this nut get up there with his little test tubes and his little science books and his little goon squad. He would say some things. He'd start out kind of mild. And as time went along, pretty soon he'd start saying things about Judaism. You know, if they're going to attack, they're going to attack two religions. This is the future of the world. They're going to hate the Jews, and they're going to kill Christians too. That's what's coming when the Antichrist comes. If you read your Bible, you can tell the future. Hey, listen to me. What happened, he'd get there, he'd make fun of the Jewish religion. And it kind of made some of the Christian people there, we're a Christian country, it kind of make us mad. And he'd say, well, can you believe that there are people that believe that to get to their heaven place, they have to sacrifice animals, lambs and bulls and little doves and certain animals. They'd kill and shed the blood, and all that blood was shed for all those years, and there's still people in the world that do that to try to amend for their sin. He said, what about the cruelty to animals there? He said, but there's one religion worse than Judaism. He says, Christianity. They don't just believe in animal sacrifice. They believe in human sacrifice. Now he stepped across a line. And Christian men were sitting in that building with red blood, and they said, you better watch what you say, sir. I'm about to come punch you out. And he said, it's the old slaughterhouse religion where they believe that a human being has to die because of what they do wrong. He said, why do you have to have a crutch to lean on? Hey, maybe because we're crippled. That's why. Hey, amen. Maybe because there's something wrong with us. We need some help. He said, why do you have to believe in that? He said, and you even sing songs. He said, in 20th century cultured America, they sing songs about somebody else's blood. Can you imagine that? And somebody would say something, a preacher would stand up and start to say something, and he would put him in his place. He was smart, he was brilliant, he was very sharp, and he'd make the guy look like a fool. I mean, the best preacher you knew. And another one would stand up, and a lady, and he would say, well, what about this? And it was like the devil was winning, and the Lord was losing. And he said, come on now. You're going to sing a song about somebody's blood being precious? About somebody else's blood 2,000 years after they're dead? That's what you believe in? And it's like the devil won. And like the cat got everybody's tongue. They were scared to stand up because this guy looked so smart. And people were starting to cheer for him. And about that time, a 17-year-old girl stood up in the back of the service. And she was there with her girlfriend. And she stood up and he looked at her. I'm like, I'm going to maul her, rip her limb from limb. What's a teenager know? And they looked at her like, that girl shouldn't have stood up. And she stayed standing, shaking in her shoes or boots, whatever. And she didn't say anything. She started singing a song.
Amen.
With a shaky voice, she sang, there is a fountain filled with blood.
Amen.
Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. She started crying. And her girlfriend said, sit down, man, you're embarrassing us. He's going to kill you. He's going to come after you. He's going to come back here where we're at. She said, hush. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. She didn't have a great voice. I sure don't have a great voice. Amen. Frogs in my throat this morning. Hey, listen to me. But I got the right song. And she had the right song. And she said, lose all their guilty stains. And she sang through that stanza, that chorus. And when she did, she made it through the whole verse and did not get interrupted. And the guy didn't have anything to say. And here's why I love the story. He started to open his mouth. His goon squad's looking at him like, go ahead, get her. You'll get anybody. He started to say something and he choked. And he started to say something again. The cat got his tongue. Oh, it's funny to watch. I love seeing people choke, don't you? I love seeing certain people choke. He started choking. Aren't y'all glad about this? I love this story. He started choking. He started to say something and nothing would come out. It's like the Lord holds your breath in his hands. And she got to the second verse. She looked around and said, I'll sing another one. The dying thief rejoiced to see that. And pretty soon, a girl about four down from her stood up and started singing the prettiest duet you ever heard in your life. Harmony like you wouldn't believe. Pretty soon it was a trio. Pretty soon it was a quartet.
Amen.
Pretty soon it was an ensemble. Pretty soon it was a choir. Pretty soon people all over that building were singing that song. Everybody on their feet. And they sang that song. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. When they sang that, finished that thing, their hero, He couldn't say anything. He started choking. He started getting scared. He had a little fear of God came over him that day. That night, I liked the story. You know what they said he did? He took his little test tubes. He took his little experiments. He took his little science books. And he took his little goon squad. And they headed out the side door. And he never opened his mouth again as long as he lived. You know what that was? That was a young person that said, I'll stand for Jesus. I won't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't talk bad about his blood. His blood washed my sins away. I'll sing for him if nobody else does. You know what happened? If you'll stand up for Jesus, other people will.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed to stand and sing for Jesus. Don't be ashamed to give a testimony. Amen. I hope we can give some testimonies tonight, Brother Dave. I might have heard some good news. Maybe we're going to give some testimonies tonight. I like hearing testimony. I get sick of hearing myself preach. Amen. Don't say amen too much right there, but I get sick of I like hearing you preach. I like hearing you say something. Don't be ashamed to give a testimony for Jesus if other people don't. God's done something for you. God's done, some of you this week, you got saved. Some of you this very week, you asked Jesus to come in your heart. He came inside. And your hearts are thumping right now. And something says you ought to stand up and let people know what you did at Vacation Bible School. Hallelujah for Vacation Bible School.
Amen.
Gets people off the road to hell and on the road to heaven. Amen? Amen. Lord's done something for you. Don't be ashamed. Some of you, God answered your prayer about somebody you've been praying for. I've seen it happen right in front of my eyes. Miraculous conversions. Don't be ashamed to give a testimony. Billy had cerebral palsy when he was a baby. Billy talked funny. Billy walked funny. Billy was the object of sick jokes. Teenagers are cruel. Of sick jokes all through his school years. And Billy got invited to go to camp. I love youth camp. I love youth conference. I love youth camp. Send your kids. Take them. Go there yourself. You probably need some more preaching yourself. Amen. Billy went to camp, and the first night of camp, the camp director's like 14 groups. The camp director said, on Thursday night, we're going to have one boy from every group and one girl from every group get up and give a testimony of what you got out of camp. Now, camp counselors, you youth pastors, get your kids ready. There's going to got to have one boy Thursday night. Up, get them down. Just a few moments. They take the mic, and they got to tell something they got out of camp. And then get the girls to do it. Well, that night the preacher preached and nobody came forward. Well, it's a Monday night. Okay. Tuesday morning, the preacher preached, the visiting preacher, nobody came forward. Tuesday night, the visiting speaker, outstanding message, he preached, nobody budged. They were gripping the back of the pews, man, like putting fingerprints in the back of the pews. At the camp service, nobody came forward. Adults are praying. Wednesday morning, there's going to be a testimony Thursday night. Be ready with your top boy, top girl. Tell your campers. And on that Monday night, Tuesday night, the counselor, the youth pastor in that one group, he goes, boys, one of you boys has to give a testimony Thursday night. Big old tough boys go, ain't going to be me. You ain't going to pry nothing like that out of me. It ain't happening. Who are we going to get to do it? And they looked over and they saw Billy. They said, Billy said he's going to do it. Yeah. We heard Billy say he's going to do it. Billy, you're going to do it. He's going to speak for our group. They all laughed. Billy was kind of embarrassed. Picked on. But Billy had been saved about a month before that.
Amen.
Billy had a dose. Thursday night rolled around. Nobody had gotten saved all week. That's not good. And nobody had come forward. I mean, couldn't get a holy grunt out of anybody. The young people wouldn't come. They wouldn't budge. And after it was over, the camp director about gave up. He about forgot about it. I mean, it was just defeated. The camp speaker was like, man, I never seen a camp week like this. I'm so humiliated. Not one decision. Hey, listen to me. The camp director was about to walk off. He said, oh, yeah, we got to have testimony. It ain't been the best week at camp, but you had something. Y'all got something out of it. He said, every group. And boy, girls come up before the boys. Here's this group. Boy comes up, gives a testimony. It's a canned testimony. Another girl from another group. Another boy from another group. They get down to group number 14. And the guys are going, Billy, are you ready? And Billy's kind of scared, as of course he would be. He'd never done any public speaking, nothing. And he had to get up there behind the mic and give a testimony. Looks like it was going to be the last one of the camp. And they said, we need a boy from that group. And they pushed Billy up. He walked slow. He talked slow. You couldn't hardly understand what he's saying. He had cerebral palsy. They laughed at him. They pushed him out. He about fell over. He finally got to the platform, and when he got up there, he got to the mic. And they said, "Go on, Billy, say it." And Billy said it, all right. Billy said this. He goes, I love. Hey, Billy's going to tell us who his girlfriend is. Listen, man, Billy's going to tell us who his girlfriend is. Those boys are laughing all around the building. I love Jesus. Because Jesus died for me and love me. And then it's a drop mic. A mic drop, what do you call it? He dropped the mic. He steps over, and when he does, the mic drops. It's like, real loud. Man, you could hear a pin drop all over that building. And then he stepped over here next to the camp director, and the camp director didn't catch him. And he fell off the platform way up here and fell down and landed on the altar. Like one slick move. He's on the altar. Billy, is he hurt? Everybody looking at him. Where's Billy? He's up there praying. Puddle of tears. He thought he'd blown it. Billy's praying. Camp director don't know what to do. Camp speakers, he don't know what to do. They're all looking at the youth pastors. They don't know what to do. Pretty soon it was a girl. She stepped out. There wasn't an invitation given at all. Girl stepped out. She comes over on the altar on the other side and starts praying. She gets saved. And another girl gets saved. And a boy comes forward and gets saved. They said every one of the boys in that youth group got saved that night. And they said they had the biggest revival at camp till like 3 in the morning. They were giving testimonies. And they wasn't saying it was a great message I heard that made me come forward. They were saying Billy's testimony. Billy said it. And it got me thinking Jesus died for me. I love him too. Jesus died for me too. And young person after young person, it was over 100 of them that got saved that night. Unbelievable. Hey, listen to me. Don't be ashamed to give a testimony, young person. Don't be ashamed to give a testimony for Jesus Christ. He's done a lot for you. And I'm going to close with this. Don't be ashamed to speak up, to let people know that you got saved if Jesus really reached down and saved you. Don't be ashamed to come forward. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's one thing he never did allow. He loved you. He made you think free. But you got to come get the gift in front of somebody else. Everybody he ever called out, they had to get saved in front of somebody else. That's the Jesus way. You can't be ashamed and get it. Oh no, he wasn't ashamed of you. He died publicly, openly, with blood all over him. Embarrassing, hanging between two thieves. They reserved the middle cross for the worst criminal of all. And they put Jesus on the middle one when he never did a crime at all. He died for what I did wrong. He said, I'll take your place. I'll die as your substitute. And I'll do it publicly. You want to get saved? You do it publicly. You can't be ashamed of me. It's only fair. Hey, this morning, some of you need to get saved. Some of you have been fooling around with this thing for years. You should have done it when you was a kid. You should have done it when you was a teen. Jesus has been knocking on your heart for a long time. I tell teens this, if I could take Jesus out of my heart for 5 seconds and put him in your heart, you'd never want to give him back.
That's right.
But I can't do that for you. You got to make that decision yourself. I hope you make it right. Some of you need to make it right this morning. You ain't never done it right. Today is your day. You know what you ought to do? Don't worry about what nobody else thinks. You need to get out of your seat and be like the first one down here. Get on this altar and get things right with God and get saved. Make sure you're going to heaven. He's already done it for you. He wants you to do something for Him. He wants you to step up and say yes to Him and come take that gift this morning. It's free. It ain't cheap. He says, I want some people that'll do it and they're not ashamed. That's His prerogative.